Chapter 45, A Thief in the Night. Improvements in neurology and immunology have given scientists new tools through which they can peer into the inner workings of the brain. While CT scans and MRIs offer stunning visual depictions of the secret world hidden beneath the skull, other techniques have been developed that paint a picture of something else happening inside the brains of children with autism, inflammation. Several techniques for gauging neurological immune activity have been recently perfected, and for children with autism, these measurements frequently indicate their brains are under attack from an invader otherwise invisible. Because of the tight confines of the skull, the swelling caused by this inflammation may not be noticeable visually. But with measurements of specific neurological immune activation available, a disturbing reality is impossible to avoid. Many children with autism diagnosis are suffering from encephalitis, a dangerous, painful swelling of the brain. This discovery isn't the isolated case of a maverick scientist, but an observation that has been replicated at least 17 times, particularly dangerous because sustained neuroinflammation is capable of destroying brain cells. During the 1970s, a new vaccine was being introduced into the pediatric population for measles. In the previous decade, several unsuccessful attempts at perfecting the vaccine had been made, but eventually a live, attenuated virus vaccine was settled on, a type of shot capable of creating antibodies to the microbe, ideally without triggering the effects of a full-blown infection. Unfortunately, through manufacturing errors or bad luck, the attenuated virus of a live vaccine can sometimes mutate into its natural state, a situation which allows it to replicate freely until the immune system can control it. This presents a problem, because during a measles outbreak, epidemiologists must differentiate whether people were infected with the wild measles strain or the one contained within the vaccine. Another, more insidious risk accompanies any measles infection. For reasons not completely understood, measles has a propensity for causing encephalitis, its most common neurological side effect. In populations with proper nutrition, the body is nearly always able to fend off this attack. Third world countries where malnutrition is a frequent problem, particularly a deficiency in vitamin A, can suffer terribly from what would otherwise be a trivial infection. Throughout the 1970s, the measles vaccine became more popular, and it was inevitable that vaccine-related encephalitis would begin to appear. In the following years, two other live attenuated virus vaccines would be combined with the measles injection, mumps and rubella. Though they were not originally thought capable of causing the same brain swelling of the measles vaccine, both mumps and rubella have been documented within the scientific literature as capable of creating this condition. Since that time, it has become apparent that an infection can cause the symptoms of autism spectrum disorder, many different infections, in fact. It is rare, but with significant inflammation in the brain, the traits of autism may become evident. During this time, parents began to suggest their children had developed autism directly after receiving a measles, or later MMR, vaccine, an unsurprising correlation given the shot's known ability to trigger acute inflammation within the brain. The medical profession, throughout its long history, has never been willing to turn the microscope upon itself, and as a result, these claims were met with hostility and disbelief, despite the obvious possibility. When researchers began to realize that children with autism showed distinct signs of encephalitis, it was thought that perhaps this was, at long last, the key to unlocking the mysteries of autism. Parents and some scientists began to claim that vaccines were capable of causing autism, but as is often the case with science, the answer is never that clear. The simplest answer may often be correct, but it's never without a caveat, a rogue outlier, which throws doubt into any assumption. For those studying the possibility that inflammation from encephalitis was a trigger for autism, there was an exception. Not all children with an autism diagnosis exhibited signs of neurological inflammation. A composite of various studies suggested that around 70% of children with autism demonstrated significant signs of brain inflammation. It wasn't all of them, but some of them. Another phenomenon puzzled their efforts to attach encephalitis to autism. Normally, the body is able to clear an offending microbe after a few days, resolving the inflammation and allowing the child to return to their normal self. The time required to heal differs from child to child, of course, but infection, sickness, then healing over a few days or weeks, was the usual sequence of events. For many of these children, something strange was happening in their bodies. They weren't able to heal. The infections which raged within their head did not clear. They did not resolve. The neural inflammation would continue for days, even months, years. It became clear that although the encephalitis these children were experiencing could be caused by the body's attempt to fight off a foreign invader, something more horrible was happening. It wasn't a foreign invader causing the problem. The brain was attacking itself.